Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God, man. What a power. What a full service. Amen. Amen. It's been a full service. Amen. We'll see what we can do this morning and just kind of bring this back around and see what the Lord's saying through his word. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you today. Thank you. And we just had a good service, so I don't want to prolong, you know, that. I believe God's just given us a lot of things through this service. A lot of great testimonies, man. You can't really top that. I mean, you can't. This is what God was wanting to say. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to be with you just for a moment. So why don't you turn your Bibles, if you would, church, to 1 Corinthians 12th chapter. Hallelujah. We're going to get to that in a moment. Next week I'm going to speak on the gift of the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and what that is and how it's used in our personal lives, how the Holy Spirit uses it to us, toward us, and then through us. And we're going to talk about that. And I just want you to really think about that being a theme as we travel through this season, where God's got us through the work of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I want you to put it in a theme. God doing it in us or through us. In us, through us. I just want you to think of it. In us, through us. And I believe that there's two works of the Holy Spirit in that capacity. Two major works of the Holy Spirit is for the Holy Spirit, when we get saved, to infill us, indwell us. Amen? We know that, right? Like when God, when we say yes to Jesus and we repent of our sins, immediately the Holy Spirit enters into our life. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, you realize that, you know that. Now, what's that for and what's that all about? If I don't get the First Corinthians, just bear with me. Why does the Holy Spirit, what's going on with the Holy Spirit? Why does he come in us? And what's he doing in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? See, there's an indwelling and then there's an empower. And we talked about that last couple of weeks. And I want to make sure we understand that. I would never say when the Holy Spirit comes into a believer, the only way that you know he's in a believer is if you speak in tongues or if you have a physical manifestation. I would never say that. I would say that when the Holy Spirit comes into you, your life changes. Somebody say amen. And there's work that the Holy Spirit does when he moves into the life of a believer. There's work he does in the believer. Everybody say, in me. In me. The Bible says, Christ in me is the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit in me is a ministering spirit. He does work inside of me. When we said before, we work out our own salvation. The Holy Spirit is working things out within us. He's setting things straight. And he's doing things first in us. Because he wants to prepare us so that he can do things through us. And that's where the indwelling happens. It happens for that purpose. We call it sanctification. How many know? Sanctification means God's setting things straight. He's convicting us. Sanctification. God, there's things in my life that when I got saved, I didn't think they were sin. But as I begin to draw closer to Jesus, the Holy Spirit began to convict me of things. And there's some addictions that lived inside of me. And I begin to lay them down, and the Holy Spirit began to give me power to stay away from them. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. That's what he does. He gives us power to stay away from sin. And so there were things that were going on inside of me that were deeper than addictions. Why I was addicted. Let me say amen to that. You know, you're just not addicted for no reason. It's usually something that you're trying, a need or an emotional need that you're trying to meet. And you're coping with something. Well, before addiction really is let go of us, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to take us beyond just the habit and into why the habit exists. What is going on that created the habit? And how many know the Holy Spirit does that, man? He takes us real deep and he begins to show us things that we've been holding on to. Amen? He's been to show us resentments perhaps that we've had in our life. Some of us have had abuse in our life, man. And like we've been angry and we've been upset at people and it's affected us. And it's a cut or a wound that hasn't healed, and we haven't allowed it to be healed. And so then it creates pain, and pain says, I don't like to feel pain. How many like to feel pain? And I used to coach little girls when they did softball. I almost said soccer, because you'd have to run in soccer, and that's never going to happen to me. But I had this little catcher, and we had to break her from moving out of the way of a ball. Because how many know when something is coming at you and it's hard and you know it's going to hurt, what is your immediate response to that? Move. And we got all that, all of us have that in common. Pain, we want to stop. We just don't like pain. So I had to teach her, and Stuart was the coach too, we had to teach her how to stay in front of that ball. So we did it with, you know, we'd go out little foam balls and we'd teach her that. And then we, you know, tennis balls. And then, you know, bowling balls, just kidding. But eventually, she was like one of the best catchers I've ever seen. She was fearless. But my point is, pain has, we all want to avoid it. We all want to get out of its way. I mean, we all want to stop it. But the Holy Spirit works inside of us in a way that says, listen, we're going to heal that pain, but the first thing you have to do is you have to start dealing with it. You have to start letting yourself feel that pain, because that, I'm going to do a work in that pain. I'm going to do a work, and I'm going to strengthen you through that pain. And sometimes the pain doesn't have to go, because God's never going to take the memory away. Somebody say amen. God's going to never take the event away. He might not even take the person away that victimized you or that offended you. But you know what he does through the power of the Holy Spirit? He gives you strength to endure it. He gives you strength so it doesn't destroy you anymore. So you and I can be around somebody that's offended us in such a way that we can still love them and it doesn't affect us down deep where it cripples us. Amen. That's the enduring work of the Holy Spirit. That's the power of the Holy Spirit in the life. And that's important for us. I mean, Holy Spirit forgives. Jesus forgives us with the blood of Jesus Christ, but the Holy Spirit does the work inside. And so the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about the empowering work of the Holy Spirit, how he empowers us for ministry, but there's a work that he does deep inside of us that is ministry to us. It's an empowering of our own self. It's a sanctification of ourself. It's kind of like the Holy Spirit in that form just works on you. And we'll get to the other people later, but I want to fix your brokenness. I want the world to know that God can heal. I want the world to know that God can restore a life. And I want the world to know God can break an addiction and break a stronghold in your life. And I want that to happen first. But then we're going to move beyond just ourselves. And we're going to move out into ministering to people with the gifts that I'm going to give you. But first, let's get you taken care of. Let's get yourself taken care of. Didn't the Bible say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you? The primary thing is sanctification. It's getting us saved. And it's causing us to be a believer. And the Holy Spirit does that. He comes in and he makes us a believer. The model of Christianity has been that, like through the scriptures, like the Holy Spirit indwelling. We get free. We get saved. And then something else happens. There's an empowering that takes place. So the Holy Spirit fills us. Then he empowers us. And we call that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what Katie was talking about today. It is not just about us now. Now it moves beyond us, and it moves out into people, and it moves out into your culture, it moves out into your neighborhood, into your families, and you become more effective in how you minister to other people. That's the second work of the Holy Spirit. And that second work of the Holy Spirit always comes with the manifestation. So when I'm empowered by God through maybe the baptism of the Holy Spirit, When I'm indwelt, it's an automatic thing. Holy Spirit comes in, and people start seeing my fruits, and they start saying, boy, there's been a change in his life. That's a process. Does that make sense? But the empowering is not a process. The empowering is immediate. That's what's called the baptism. You don't just... When I baptize people, I don't say, okay, we're going to go feet first, then knees, then torso, and then... what do? We plunge them, and... Blah, 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 blah. You know, and the wives or the parents are like, leave them under longer. You know, you can't do that. But we plunge them, and it's like a wave that comes over us. It's an immediate work of God. It's an empowering. It's a quick work, and it's manifest. There's always a manifestation immediately following that empowerment. Now, we know in Scripture that the main manifestation that immediately followed the baptism of the Holy Spirit was tongues. Is there others? Is it only tongues? Can there be something else? We'll talk about that a little later in this series, but I believe that we know for sure. Can there be others? God's God. He can do what he does. Somebody say amen. Nowhere in Scripture it says the only evidence for somebody being empowered by the Holy Spirit to do ministry effectively is tongues. It doesn't say that. It shows us the model of that, but it doesn't say that. So we can't be dogmatic on that. We can't say that's the only thing, only way God shows he's empowered a believer. We do know that an empowered believer is an effective believer. That means their gifts are effective. That means there is an effect that it has on other people. Amen. We call that the anointing of God. It's like, well, I can get up here and speak, and I could bore you, but I can get up here and speak under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and no longer am I speaking to the ears or itching ears. I'm speaking to the heart. And that's why we can say, yeah, that's it. That's not my words. That's the Holy Spirit working on you the week before, and now through the word, he's confirming what he spoke to you a week ago. And you're like, yeah, and nobody gets the glory but God. Somebody say amen. So that's what the Holy Spirit does. He always points to Jesus. Why does that point to Jesus? The pastor spoke the word. Why doesn't it point to the pastor? Because people that have the Holy Spirit have been talking to God. And they were talking to God before Sunday. And God spoke to them something in the week or 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago for whatever it was. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit uses the minister in church to speak the hidden secrets of your heart. And you say, whoa, God, you've been listening to me. God, you're involved in this. God, you are really, you know what's going on in my life. Now, what does that do to people? Boy, it brings you closer to Jesus, man. You say, I want to know God, man. I want to know him more, but he likes me. I really like people that like me back. Somebody say amen. I want to be around people. I don't like being around people that don't like me. It's hard. But when they like me, and I know they like me, I'm drawn to them. I want to stay with them. I feel comfortable with them. It's good. I know they have my welfare, my well-being in their heart. And that's so when God shows you that he's involved and he likes you, it draws us closer to him. It doesn't draw you closer to the minister. It should draw you closer to Jesus. Somebody say amen. So I know that I'm kind of rushed for time, but it's fine because we're going to really get into this. And I don't say that as a negative thing. I'm glad I'm rushed for time this morning because there was a powerful move of God in the altars and a powerful move of God in the church. And it is a great example of what the Holy Spirit does through empowering others to people. Somebody say amen. But the Holy Spirit, when he fills us up, it's automatic. When we're saved, it's automatic. There's no waiting for the Holy Spirit to come when you're saved. It comes. It fills you. And that's what makes us belong to him. Romans tells us that our spirit, or the Holy Spirit tells our spirit, we are children of God. Somebody say amen. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It keeps us close to God. I want to share a few things what the Holy Spirit does that's in us. The Bible says he's a helper. So when the Holy Spirit comes to us, you don't have to be empowered by or have the baptism of the Holy Spirit to have the Holy Spirit live in you and give you help. Somebody say amen. Let me read scripture. John 14, 16 and 17 says, I will ask the Father. Who will ask the Father? Jesus. And he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. Powerful. Another helper. What does that mean? Why didn't you just say a helper? Because he wants the disciples to know that this is another helper. I'm a helper, and the Holy Spirit is going to continue my work and who I am, my ministry. He will continue the work that I've begun in you. He's Jesus. He's the Spirit of Christ. So what are you saying? Just like the disciples had Jesus in the flesh, the same Jesus is in the Holy Spirit. We're going to expect the same thing that they expected. And he's a helper. What does that tell us? So he's not another, but it's just a helper. Boy, this is kind of, the word means parakletos, which is seven strong meanings. I won't go through them all. I'll try to go through some of them, then we'll quit. But I want you to know what's in you. Somebody say amen. I want us to know what is inside of us. Parakletos, helper. What does that mean? Jeez. You call somebody for help when everything's fine and the load is perfect for you and you can do it on your own. How prone are we to call for help then? So just the fact that Jesus said a helper's coming, what does that tell you? As a believer, you're going to be in situations that you're going to need help in. There's going to be hard adversity in your life. There's going to be things that will attack you outside and from inside. Your faith will be tested and challenged, and you will need help. And I'm going to send a helper for you. I'm going to send somebody who, when it gets heavy, when it gets too much, when it gets overwhelming, I hate the saying that says this, God will never give you more than you can handle. Life will. Life will absolutely give you more than you can handle. Good, because God knew that, and he provided for us the Holy Spirit to enable us to work through that hard stuff. The word in the Greek means to come alongside and pick up the other end. But the Holy Spirit, this is too heavy for me. I don't think I can make it through this. This grief is too strong. This disappointment is too strong. I've shared with you and my family and church, and when, you know, we've went through some adversity, and boy, there were times I said, God, I can't do this. I can't walk through this. I can't make it. And the Holy Spirit comes alongside, and I'm through. I make it through. We're enduring. We've made it through this hard time. And we know at the other end of that season, it wasn't us. We know that it was the Holy Spirit. I couldn't do it without the Holy Spirit. So he assists us. He lifts it up. He takes the burden and makes it lighter. Somebody say amen. Boy, sometimes I feel like he takes me over his shoulder and walks me through. Because sometimes I don't know how I could do it. Sometimes he drags me through it. But he helps us. And that's the point when Jesus said, look, you're going to have a helper come. It's good news and bad news. The good news is you got a helper. The bad news is you're going to need help. And that means you're going to be in a situation that's difficult. And the Holy Spirit will help you, enable you, and strengthen you through it. And here's an interesting thing I was thinking during worship. Now, whether or not this is relevant, I think it is, because it is. Sometimes when we're going through hard times, we want other means to help us. Sometimes we lean on other people, and they may help us get us through some. Sometimes we lean on drugs or alcohol, and they help us get through a situation. We made it through. But here's God's plan for us. I want you to rely upon the Holy Spirit. He will enable you to get through this, and you will begin to know, and just like you were dependent upon calling somebody when they enable you and they help you through situations that you got yourself in, and then you always learn by that to rely on them, and you kind of grow, you know, you're not confident anymore for you being able to do things, so you just lean on them. Or when you have an addiction, you just lean on that drug, and you grow dependent upon those drugs. You grow dependent upon those people. Some people grow dependent upon the government. Some people grow dependent upon a lot of things. But Jesus said, I want you to learn to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And the only way you could do that is letting go of those other things. And that's hard. How many say amen to that? I mean, I want the Holy Spirit to be strong in my life. Well, then you got to depend upon him, and you got to trust him. You got to let go of the other things that you've been using to stabilize your life as a crutch, and lean on him. Let go of that and grab onto this. That's let him help you. I mean, does that make sense? And then pretty soon you're strong in the Spirit. What does that mean? Dude, I walked through some adversity. It was little at first, but I learned to rely upon the Holy Spirit. And then my next season of life was a little bit more difficult, but I leaned on the Holy Spirit then, and I made it through. And then you just keep gradually growing and waxing strong in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? That you lean upon him, and he becomes your default then. He becomes your first source of strength. You don't go anywhere else. You go to him. And he walks you through, and you're strong in the Spirit. And you'd be surprised. At the end of our life, I'm like, wow, we made it through that together. I could have never done that on my own. And it starts with letting go of everything else that you've been trying to hold on to and grab onto him. How many know it takes faith? Letting go is scary. Grabbing on is difficult as well, because it takes faith to do that. But I want to show you that he's a helper for us. How many of you really have experienced the help of the Holy Spirit in your life? I want you to stop right now and think about that. What's your default? When you're upset and scared, what's your default? Not that you just say a whimsy prayer, Lord, help me, but there's an effort to rely upon him and to encourage yourself that God is my strength, that the Holy Spirit will get me through this. And that you lean and listen for the Holy Spirit to give you the encouragement that you need in times of despair. That you look for strength outside, inside of you, because of the Holy Spirit. Not outside. You stop doing that. You lean upon the Holy Spirit. When's the last time you really just said, God, you got me in this, and believed it, and didn't go anywhere else? You didn't try any other thing. You didn't try to remedy it or cope with it any other way, but just by the Holy Spirit. Well, when's the last time it happened? I'm your pastor. And I could say to yourself, boy, I don't know if I do that like I should. I try to find answers outside of the Holy Spirit sometimes. Like, I try to make sense of it logically, or it isn't fair stuff. Or I try to look for some answer, some way to alleviate that. And what God was telling me as I was in worship, just wait on me, lean on me, and let go of other things. Now, the last thing I want you to do is say, what is the pastor saying? He says he sometimes doesn't lean on the Holy Spirit. He leans on other things. Is my pastor a heroin addict? No. I'm not leaning on stuff like that. But I'm saying I lean on things that aren't of God. And I try to find strength outside of that. There are subtle ways that we can do that. So the question for you and the challenge for you today is, do you lean on the Holy Spirit? Is he your helper? Because he wants to be. He wants to lift the load and lighten the burden. That's the first thing. He's a helper. Someone say amen. Second thing is, he's an advocate. Let's read this in 1 John. 1 John 2 and 1 and Romans 8, 15 and 17. It says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one who speaks to the Father in our defense. The Holy Spirit is the advocate that God has given us through Christ. What is an advocate? Here's the powerful word of an advocate. The advocate is someone who defends you. He says, when you make a mistake and you sin, how many of you feel real good about your relationship with God in sin? If I'm in worship, oh, Lord, I love you. And God, you're like, oh, yeah, I kind of love him. I mean, there's some things that I shouldn't have been doing that I've been doing. And then you want to avoid it. How comfortable it is for you to be in worship when you're struggling with sin? It's not real comfortable. How comfortable is it to be around the people of God and Bible studies and things of God when you're struggling with sin or rebellious sin? How comfortable is it? How comfortable is it with you after a failure? Like some of you may, Friday night, you may have done something stupid. Saturday night, you may have done something stupid. And your first mind is like, dude, I don't want to go to church because the Holy Spirit is there. And sometimes he convicts me and it hurts. And so I feel ashamed to be around God and to be around God's people. How many of you ever felt that way? Boy, there are a lot of people like, I won't come to your church because I failed too much or maybe made too many mistakes. I won't come to the altar because I've been praying about the same sin over and over and over again. And we say, man, God's got to be sick of hearing me. How many of you ever felt that way? But the advocate means this. He pleads your case, not to God. See, that's what people would, I learned a long time ago, the Holy Spirit reminds God of your righteousness. No, he doesn't. God doesn't forget. The blood of Jesus took care of that between you and God. What does that mean? That God, through Christ, Christ's perfect life, was given to you as a gift. The rewards of a perfect life was given to you. You inherited the benefits of perfection. Jesus Christ was perfect, and he says, I'm going to give you my perfect, my righteous, my right living. I'm going to give it to you. But I don't live right. I know that's why you need my righteousness as a gift. And the blood of Jesus, his death, covers us from all unrighteousness. God knows that. So when the Holy Spirit is being an advocate for you, he isn't saying, God, you got to remember, I know they sinned, and I know they did wrong, but remember, it's the blood of Jesus that covers them. God doesn't need that. We do. We do. Romans 8 says this, for you are no longer a slave. You are a child of God, adopted. You are no longer a slave who lives in fear, but you've been adopted by God. What does that mean? When you're a slave, you're like, I made a mistake. My master's going to be upset at me. He may sell me. He may get rid of me. He may beat me up. I mean, I know I'm in trouble because I failed and I sinned against my master, and he is going to chew me up and spit me out. Paul says, look, you're no longer a slave. That's not, God doesn't judge you based upon your performance. You are adopted. That means he has given you a new life in him, and the old life has been forgotten. Somebody say amen. The great thing about adoption was when you were adopted, even as an adult, some Romans would adopt somebody. Nero was adopted by Claudius. Adopted into the family means your old life and the debts and every reputation of that old life is gone. And now you've inherited what you've been adopted into. You, as an adult, I got an adopted brother, let's say, and he's that's the real son of the father. It doesn't matter. The inheritance of the son has been, you are equal or co-heirs of the son. You get to enjoy the same stuff he gets, but he's the blood. Doesn't matter. Jesus adopted you. God adopted you through Christ, and every benefit of Jesus has been given to you. So we have a righteousness. That's what that means. If you read, I don't have time, Deuteronomy 28, it says, if you disobey God, you're going to be cursed in everything you do. And it goes on all these lists, like you're going to be poor, you're going to be broken, you're going to be unhealthy. But so if you obey in everything, you get all that stuff back. Like you get blessings, abundance, crops, health. And Deuteronomy says that based upon works. If you do good, you get good. You do bad, you get bad. But Jesus said, look, I became a curse for you. Those who are on the cross, he says, that he who dies upon a tree is cursed. That means Jesus was a curse for us. So the curse no longer applies. Jesus was the curse, paid for the curse, and he purchased the blessing for you and I. That we are no longer cursed, we are blessed because of his obedience. Somebody say amen. We know that, right? Righteousness. When we sin, God doesn't need to be reminded of our righteousness. It's for us. That's why Romans 8 continues. It says, you're no longer a slave, you are adopted. And the Spirit of God tells your spirit, you are a child of God. Now, why would the Spirit of God have to tell my spirit I'm a child of God? Especially in an area of being a slave when I failed and I'm fearful that my master's going to kick me out of his house. Paul says, no, no, no. Listen, that's what you think. But that's why God's given you the advocate, the Holy Spirit. He defends you. He reminds you, not God, he reminds your spirit of your place and your adoption in Christ. And everything that's given to the Son has been given to you. And adoption is forever. Somebody say amen. So now we can boldly come into the throne of grace to find help in our time of need, even in the midst of mistakes, sin, and evil, brokenness. So Paul says, don't let that be a reason to sin, but let it be a reason to rejoice. When I sin, I have an advocate who will tell my spirit, go to God. Don't you run from him. God will forgive you. God loves you. Go to him and let him begin to minister unto you because he's not ashamed of you and you haven't sinned too much and he's not sick of you. You are still his son or daughter and he will forever love you and embrace you. Somebody say amen to that. That's advocacy. How many know we need that? I need an advocate, man, because sometimes I beat myself up too bad and I'm saying, God, I can't do this. I made too many mistakes. Sinners, backsliders stay out of the church because they believe that somehow in some way they can't do this and God's too ashamed and they're playing a game and they can't. God's going to reject them. But the advocacy says, no, Spirit, to you, to us, to our, he speaks to us inside. He says, you belong to God. God is your father. You are the prodigal, and God is the father waiting and watching and running to your redemption and your restoration and your forgiveness. Somebody say amen to that. Woo! That's advocacy. Stand to your feet. This morning, I want to thank you for allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to you in this place. We're going to continue next week. I'm going to finish what the indwelling does for us. Because I don't want to celebrate the empowering or the baptism of the Holy Spirit without equally celebrating the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Church, they're two different things. You can be indwelled, but you don't have to be empowered. But I want you to understand the benefit of being indwelled by the Holy Spirit and what he's done. So we learned today that he's my helper. That means times are going to get tough and I'm going to need a helper. He's going to help me through this. He's going to help me. The advocate says he's going to defend me. He's going to continually encourage me and remind me and my spirit of my position with the Father. And that keeps me close to him. His righteousness allows me to stay connected to him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, help us as we walk through this week today to dwell on the indwelling. That we dwell on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Why am I saved? What work is the Holy Spirit doing in my life? What work is he doing within me? I need to know that so I can know how good it is and how prepared God has made me for my life today after I got saved. That he has secured things. Not only my salvation, but he secured my righteousness. He secured my confidence that there's never a situation that's going to be too big for God. Hallelujah. Too big for me, yes, but not too big for God. You know what? I think the last thing we'd say is he sheds upon you the love of Christ. He reminds you that he loves you. Can I ask him to do that right now? There are some in here today that maybe they've been estranged or separated from God. As we close this morning, maybe you question your worth. Maybe you question God's forgiveness, how he feels about you. Father, I could sit here and say these words, but I don't know if they mean everything to them unless you come and you fill them with the love of God. Love of the Father right now. Overflow them that they know with confidence, no matter where I'm at and what I've done, I am always loved by God. Hallelujah. Would you wait on that for me? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. God loves you because of the righteousness of Christ. And it covers all the dumb things we do. And it keeps us close to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You love me, God? I love you. Sister Pat said the same thing. There's something here. Why do you want my heart? Why do you want me? Because I love you. And I want the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the great love and the great depth of love that I have for you. And guess what, church? Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. That's the message of the Holy Spirit to us. That's what he tells us. Nothing will separate you from the love of Christ. Yeah, but I failed. Nothing. Yeah, but I like nothing. Yeah, but I'm struggling. Nothing. Yeah, but I've let people, I disappoint. Nothing. Just separate you from the love of Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, that's why it says in Romans 8, Abba, Father. That means come, Father. Abba, Father means this. I'm calling out to God, and I know he's going to respond. The Holy Spirit says you can't do that if you feel guilty and ashamed. But the Holy Spirit says, no, he's your dad. Call out to him, and he will answer. You haven't lost position with him. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Hallelujah. Father, help us to walk in that understanding. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you this morning. Thanks for enduring with us. I hope we're enduring. We got a 12:10. That won't happen very often. So praise God. Amen. Look to your neighbor and say you didn't blow up or melt. It was 12:10 and you're still alive. Amen. God bless you.